This meeting is now being recorded.
And I would just like to welcome you to the IDF Who Is Two Rec 4 Compliance Meeting Number 2 on January 22nd, 2018 at 1430 UTC. In attendance today is Susan and Alan. And from ICANN organization, we have Alice, Jean-Baptiste, Amy, Lisa, Steve, and myself, Brenda. This meeting is being recorded. Please state your name for the transcription, and I'll turn it over to you, Susan. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda. So we get great attendance from ICANN staff, and I appreciate that. So, Alan, back to, you know, I'm not sure we're going to get any team members this morning, and maybe it's a little confusing that the meeting was canceled, but then we scheduled this meeting. So, you know, the regular plenary call was canceled. So just wondering if you had thoughts on any of the questions that were included on this document and whether or not, you know, we should add other questions or requests. Any input?
The short answer is I didn't look at the document recently, but I'm willing to wing it right now if you.
Yeah.
Sort of what are the changes that we made since the last version? Is that obvious or not?
I don't think the track changes were on. Let me pull up mine. Maybe my version shows. So one of the things was that staff compiled the two working groups, obviously, so subgroups. Some of the questions, I think on the second page, not really, or third page, was I'm a little concerned, or not concerned, confused over the committee, and that's why I was hoping Chris or Erica would be on the call, on the subcommittee that does oversee, the board subcommittee that does oversee Jamie's work. And so I put in, how does the subcommittee oversee Jamie's work? What reviews have been done, reports? Do they weigh in on the yearly assessment? And I realized, you know, Jamie's, I think he's only been in the job a year. Who's on the subcommittee? Can staff provide a list of the members with SOI or CV? And I responded to Erica's comments. As Erica indicated in her comments, there is not a board compliance subcommittee. We should review how impactful a Who Is board committee is and whether or not we make a comment recommendation that this board committee oversees compliance in general. So there's supposed to be some sort of Who Is board committee, but not a compliance. And she also referenced a risk committee. I have no idea what the risk committee does, but I thought that would be interesting to find out. I added some questions about the compliance team, number of employees on compliance team. Does the compliance team contract with any vendors? Do you find a need after rollout of the new GTLD to implement new processes or technology? That was about all of my input to this. Then the other thing that you know, we were thinking about doing is trying to schedule, and Alice is working on this, just a short meeting with compliance next week when Chris and I think Erica's going to be there too, are, you know, in LA, just to, it's more of a sort of setting some ground rules or finding out how the easiest way to interact with compliance and set up meetings for the whole subgroup to interact with and do the review of the compliance team.
That, you know, that all sounds sounds fine. One question, are we trying to, in the work of this group, divided into what we are doing on behalf of reviewing the last recommendation and what we're doing in terms of the new topic, or are we simply trying to amass all of the information gathering we need for any, and then, I mean, obviously in the report there are going to be two separate sections. So to what extent are you looking at it right now as if they were still two separate groups?
Two separate groups, not groups. Right. That's a good question, and I guess in my mind, and I may not have made that clear in the document, that we should, you know, review the actual recommendation maybe first, focus on that, and then from that sort of come up with other questions that would be that additional compliance review. So recommendation four, and then what was, I don't even remember the subgroup number, but what, you know, the full compliance and what's gone on. Does that seem feasible, or?
Yeah, that seems reasonable. I'm trying to eat an English muffin and then trying to mute as I crunch, so I'm going on and off. Yeah, that seems quite reasonable. I guess until we actually start, you know, going into some finer level of detail as to exactly what are we going to ask them and things like that, I think it's all going to remain vague. Maybe the next step, it would be nice if we had more people on the group, but I think at some point we have to start getting into, you know, the details of what are we going to ask, what are we trying to, especially on the second part of the project, you know, where we're looking at new things. Because right now, you know, reviewing the old recommendations is moderately simple.
Right.
Deciding whether we can give any follow-on recommendations is, you know, a next step in that on that process, and there may or may not be any. It's the new one that I'm a little bit concerned of trying to, in a timely manner, start mapping out what are we going to do, because unless we have some sort of a roadmap and work plan of how we're going to go through this, we're going to get, you know, 2 months from now, we're going to suddenly find out we have a draft report ready to start putting together, and we haven't really, you know, identified what it is we're talking about yet. So
right.
I guess I'm just a little nervous that we start putting together some details pretty quickly. And certainly I haven't done that. And, you know, I guess I want to see the group working together and starting to put some ideas. We have Carlton on the line now, I see. And
yeah, good morning, Carlton. Or afternoon for you, maybe. Early morning, late morning. No, I would agree. And a lot of this in this document is more of to start spark that thinking, I think. But I can take it to the next level, too.
Well, I think it's almost one of these things that each of us have to do independently. And, you know, and then merge the, you know, debate whether some of the stuff is really should be there or not, and then merge whatever's left into a single, you know, cohesive plan.
Right.
Carlton, can you speak?
And Lisa has her hand up. Carlton's typing. So go ahead, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Susan. I just wanted to maybe help point out how the information that you had previously compiled for Topic 7 was merged into this combined document. So if you look at the change marked text, anything that is change marked in blue actually came from the Topic 7 document, which is the additional objectives now to be addressed by the joined subgroup. So, for example, the questions that you'd originally identified for Topic 7, They appear on page 6, I believe. So anything you see on page 6 that's redlined is actually questions that you had identified for that, what Alan referred to as the new work item, but that's previously topic 7, that objective. And I also wanted to call your attention to, there's a link in the chat for the Risk Committee's charter, which might be one of the documents that you find useful as input.
Okay, thank you. That is helpful. Let me look at the Risk Committee. Yeah, Carlton. Oh, Carlton saying he didn't hear the point you made clearly, Alan. Do you have any input on this document, Carlton?
Carlton, what I was saying was I'm looking for the time that we start actually putting together a relatively detailed work plan on how we're going to accomplish both of these, and both to give compliance some sort of heads up as to what kind of things we're going to be looking at, and to make sure that when, 2 months from now or whatever the time is that we're supposed to be in our face-to-face meeting and starting to compile the draft report, are we going to have my concern is this is one of the few topics we're looking at which really is going to require some substantive work and investigation. And I want to make sure we start on that sooner rather than later. It's a summary, I guess. Lisa, I noticed in the Adobe Connect, this is a version 1, but this is version 1 presumably of the combined topics. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's the version 1 of the compiled compliance document, and it's actually sort of 1 plus because it has Susan's edits as well.
Okay. Is this one on the wiki at this point?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so if I download it and read it on the plane today, I have some I'll have some idea of where we are and can start on my behalf doing what I just said everyone should do. Goes along with also reading all the GDPR documents.
Good luck on that one.
I have a 4-hour flight, an hour or so in the lounge ahead of time. Maybe we'll get done.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yep. And Lisa, please go ahead.
Thanks. So I wondered if, and I'm sure you have, but if we could spend a minute talking about what you think the objectives might be for an initial meeting with the compliance team when you're in Los Angeles, and any specific questions that you'd want them to be prepared to address in that initial meeting.
I think it's been a while since I've paid very close attention to the compliance team. And so my thoughts, and maybe this doesn't require, Maggie and Jamie both, but is to just get some basic information about the structure. It's like, how many employees are there? How many people are in management? Do they break the work up by, who is a separate little team, or I shouldn't say little, separate team, do the people who work on the who is and accuracy reports work on other things too? Do they see an overall picture of the compliance issues that are brought to the team's attention? Sort of just some basic structural questions. So then that would help us sort of pinpoint who we need to talk to, and the tools they use for any who is issue. And then just sort of some of those questions I put in the the document, but more of just, you know, not delving into an actual review, but sort of prepping and figuring out it would help us figure out what those detailed questions are, I think, by talking to compliance. Do you have any recommendations on that, Lisa? Okay, so you wrote us. You've got a.
It's Alan. As you were saying all that, my only thought was it's unfortunate that all of that kind of things of tell us about the compliance in terms of the organization, who does what tools do you use, is the kind of thing I'd like to have seen on the web as part of their normal, you know, openness. And unfortunately for ICANN, there's a organization chart at the top level, but there's not really a lot about any of the subgroups and how they're organized. So,
right.
My own personal little bugaboo.
Yeah, Lisa, I think that your objective does grasp what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, just to, I copied essentially what the questions you were raising into chat just to capture
mm-hmm.
them. But I think what you're looking for is something that essentially lets you see the structure of the compliance organization with respect to who works on who is, right?
Correct. And how it's, I guess, what, you know, one of the things that concerns me is, you know, is the who is, the work so siloed within the compliance team that when complaints come in and it's frequently one registrar, they just answer the who is question or deal with the who is compliance matter, but they have no idea that there's also the registrar, you know, say that specific registrar is behaving badly in some other areas too. So the overall compliance action, that there wouldn't be an overall compliance action, like, you know, it's not a cumulative. It's, oh, we took care of this compliance action with this registrar or this registrant, but we haven't, but we're not looking at the bigger picture. I guess that's sort of what I'm getting at,
yeah.
With wanting to know the structure and who does what and really who we should interview. You know, down the road. It looks like Carlton also said the CCTRT team was originally scheduled to visit with the clients but did not allow, the time did not allow.
Yeah. You know, it's not obvious that compliance is organized or should be organized around things like who is. I mean, they have an overall
right.
job to do and, you know, who is a part of their compliance, but certainly not, it may end up being the major part of what they do because of the world of the who is world we've gotten ourselves into. But overall, they're enforcing contracts which have a lot more in them just who is. So it's not at all clear that the organization is going to map to who is. But still, we need to understand how the various who is related things are done within the organization.
Exactly.
I think one of our challenges is going to be not to wander into the non-who is areas, you know, for two reasons. Number one, it's a diversion from what we're doing. And number two, it's the one thing which will start waving red flags and cause, you know, what we're doing to be rather problematic. We don't want to get into a SSR2 situation being accused of doing things that we're not supposed to be doing. Nor do we want to waste our time on it.
No,
as interesting as it might be.
No, but I do think that any compliance action taken on a who is should be, and you're right, we're not going to get into are they compliant with their contracts and how that whole process worked within ICANN, but it would be interesting to find out how the who is handled. So, Carlton, you have your hand up.
Hi, Susan. Thank you, Carlton, for the record. I just wanted to endorse having a substantive face-to-face meeting with compliance. I tell you that we were very keen to have such a meeting from the CCT review team. Maggie came to see us a couple of times and just dropped in on the meetings, and she was very informative about what was happening there. But I think we need to delve into greater detail. We see some early signs that some things are changing in compliance in terms of reporting, in terms of data, harvesting of data from the registry and the registrars. But what we are not certain of is that they keep on saying there's more to come. But we don't have a very good sense of how the work is going to be arranged to keep the progress going. And I certainly believe that this team would definitely want to know how that is going to progress. So I personally think that we should try to get more substantive information about how the team is organized, what are the sources of data they're capturing, how the data is curated, and so on. I really would endorse that. Thank you.
Thanks, Carlton. And that is a question. One of the points you brought up was you've seen some changes, but there's more to come. So I'm wondering if we add a question on, do they have a roadmap for future changes already that affect the who is compliance?
Absolutely. And can I just say the other thing that I'm quite intrigued by is the several strains of work that's happening in ICANN, whether an org or with or the constituencies about the impact of GDPR on who is. I believe it is part of the conversation, but also the message from compliance is that registrars, the contracted parties, would be waived in for compliance with until such time. And what they want is some reasonable, they want to get the contracted parties to offer suggestions of how they're going to proceed. And they are going to evaluate those and make a determination as to what goes forward. That will have significant impact on the work inside compliance. And I think we probably would be well advised to have some kind of heads up as to what the thinking is, how you handle all of that internally. That to me is very important. That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, it's quite clear that their world is going to of compliance enforcing who is going to change as the GDPR story evolves. But on the long term, it's reasonably certain, I think, that we are going to have some level of who is, and whatever is there, we will stabilize on what is going to be, required for the various registrars in different locations and for different classes of registrant, and there will be a level of enforcement, even though we don't know what the details are right now. So this infrastructure is not going to change. It's just going to be a lot more, have to determine whether this rule applies to this particular registrar/registrant or not. But there is still going to be some level of enforcement in the long term. We don't know exactly what the details are at this point.
I would agree.
Yeah, Alan. No,
go ahead.
Sorry, Susan. I was just want to follow up on Alan. I would agree that we don't know long term, but the workflows definitely. Infrastructure, maybe I call the workflows infrastructure as well. And I think the workflows are going to change significantly. To my mind, if you have to deal with the several levels of OIDs and don't come to a common agreement that is global in nature, that develops several multiple work streams for the same team and so on, that is going to be quite a hell of a task. So I would say that I'm more interested to hear how they will organize themselves to make this. But I do believe some level of OIDs is going to be available still. But getting to that is going to be the deal that we would want to actually hear how they manage that.
Yeah, I guess I don't worry about that nearly as much, because whatever WHOIS environment we're going to be in, it's going to have to be well enough delineated that all the registrars and registries can follow the same, be working from the same hymn book, so to speak. And compliance will have to work for it from it as well. But it's going to have to be all well determined, and we can recognize from a given WHOIS record which set of rules applies. So. But yes, it will imply slightly different workflows, but I think a large part of that's going to have to be automated. You can't have to have a person looking at the record to decide who, which set of rules to use. Before we go on, I have a
that's one good question. That's one good example.
Yeah.
That's exactly one good example.
Question for staff. We've been told that to organize a face-to-face plenary meeting, we have to allow several months. Can I assume that if we want to organize a meeting in LA with this work group for, 2 days or whatever it's going to take, that we can do that on a much shorter time scale than for a full plenary? I guess that's to Jean-Baptiste.
Hi, Alan. Yes, it's Jean-Baptiste. So you mean like with the full review team or just those who are present in LA?
This subgroup.
Because at this stage, what we are trying to do is to have the review team members that are present in LA to physically meet with the compliance members in Los Angeles.
Yes, but that's not going to be 2 days of meetings. They're going to try to squeeze an hour out of
exactly. The
schedule. I'm talking about sometime between now and the time that we're supposed to meet in a plenary meeting, wherever it is, to actually meet there and do a substantive amount of work.
As I mentioned earlier, that would be if we want to organize a face-to-face meeting, that would be 90 days. That's well imposed.
Plenary. We're talking about a face-to-face with four of us or something like that. Are you saying you also need that same level of time?
It can't be 90 days.
So that would be just for the sub-team, you mean?
Yeah, if we want a meeting in LA with compliance with just the sub-team,
which I'm guessing
is four or five people, what kind of lead time do you think we will need to do that?
Thanks for clarifying, Alan. This I would need to ask, because for the full review team I know, but for sub-team, I've never had the case so far, so I'll be asking.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Lisa. If I could just add, So the factors that go into determining lead time are things like, do you need separate meeting space? Do you need additional travel support? And so on. So in the case of your upcoming time in LA, you don't need additional travel support. It'll already be there. You're looking for something brief. You don't probably need separate meeting space, just a time to meet for an hour or two. That obviously doesn't require nearly as much lead time as something that requires, you know, booking of space and booking of travel. But we can provide you with an answer, concrete answer for in the case where you have a subgroup that wants to have space allocated and travel booked, how much lead time is actually needed for that kind of meeting.
Right. I mean, in terms of working space, we would need, you know, one of the small conference rooms that we would book for the day or so.
Yeah.
You know, we're holding five people. But that shouldn't be a challenge in the ICANN
yeah.
offices. The only challenge is is hotel and airfare and making sure the compliance team are available at that point.
Yeah. Can I add, Alan, I don't know if I thought I heard it at a couple of hours. I am not thinking that this kind of conversation is going to be a couple of hours, you know.
No. What I'm talking about, Carl, is about days. There are some people in this subgroup who will be in Los Angeles next week, and they hope to take a couple of hours to talk to compliance, you know, squeeze it in between lunch or whatever like that.
No, this is going to take days.
No.
So it's two meetings.
Carlton, they're fact. There will be a few people in Los Angeles next week, and they will try to find an hour or two to talk to compliance. That's not the meeting I'm talking about.
Okay. Got you. Sorry about that.
So, yeah, I am in L.A. next week, Chris Despain and Erica. So I thought we could take advantage and just have a very introductory meeting and for some of these structural questions, which would help guide how we plan out like a two-day meeting with compliance to really
review. The 2 days. Okay. I get you, Susan. Thank you for that explanation.
Yeah.
I'm no with you. Yeah.
Okay, good. Just taking advantage of the fact that I have to be there anyway. Let's see.
Housekeeping. This is meeting is scheduled for 90 minutes, but I'm going to have to leave at the very latest after 60.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't see this going that long anyway.
No, just wanted to let you know, though.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. And Lisa, you have your hand up.
Thanks. I just wanted to call your attention to Jean-Baptiste has been trying to capture those questions for your initial very short meeting with the compliance team in L.A. They're on screen now. Are those the kinds of questions that you want the compliance team to prepare to answer? You know, maybe if you want time to review and finalize this list, can we set a time frame for doing that so that you give the compliance team enough heads up to be prepared?
Right. Yes. So let's say Wednesday, because I would like to go over, you've extended some of these questions and I would like to go over them again, and I'm sure others on this subgroup would too. So would Wednesday be adequate enough time to send to the compliance team the question?
When are you actually hoping to meet with the compliance team?
So Alice has some tentative, go back to my email, it was either Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Let's see. February 1st, there's a couple choices. Friday the 2nd, I think that's just with Chris. It looks like Thursday or Friday. Thursday probably is when we would need those questions. We would be discussing those questions. So You know, that would give them a week's lead time. Do you think that's adequate?
So this is Lisa. I think that the kinds of questions that you've identified so far, a week to prepare sounds reasonable. If you were asking for more in-depth briefings, I think they would need more time to prepare. But my impression is these kinds of questions that you've asked, you know, in this call, a week's lead time is reasonable, but of course I'm not the compliance team. They'll have to answer that.
Right, and this is really more to sort of start the discussion, not to do an in-depth review. So if they didn't have the answer to these questions at that meeting, that would be fine too. Yes. It's always just good to talk to people face-to-face, in my opinion, and sort of start the conversation with them. Okay, what else should we be focusing on here?
So if I could suggest, maybe you want to set a target for when members of your subgroup, including those not on today's call, would have looked at the document and provided some feedback.
So let's say Tuesday evening, maybe. Does that make sense? Because we can add these questions to the just a more procedural question. Do you feel that all of these questions, all of our discussions, should be reflected in this template at all times? Or is the template more of a high level? And then refer to other documents we've created.
Now, the template that you have in front of you is your work planning template. As the subgroup actually works and moves into the next phase, you'll start capturing, you know, the specifics of your research. And I think that's where you'll end up putting, for example, the results of your discussion, right?
Okay. I thought this document was frozen at this point, and now we'll start, you know, creating whatever the documents are that we're going to use to track and start reporting.
Right. Right. I would go with Alan on that.
I mean, it doesn't really matter. We can incorporate them all into the same document as it evolves, but the sections were set up sort of as an initial planning document, not as a tracking document for doing our actual work. So.
Right. That makes sense to me.
Okay. So maybe we create another document of, you know, that is questions for the compliance team and then reference that in this document.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you think we have enough to brainstorm, and then I'll send out an, you know, to continue the brainstorm offline, and then I can send out an update with a new, you know, document questions for compliance team for the rest of the subgroup, and hopefully get some input before tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and then finalize it and send it to the compliance group on Wednesday. Lisa, your hand's up.
I have one question with regard to scheduling the initial kickoff session with the compliance team, and that is, are you expecting to have remote participation for that, since there will be a few of you in LA, but not all of the subgroup?
That's a really good question, and that was on my list that I had forgotten to ask. That would be great if we could do that, offer the remote participation. What we can't do is, you know, the times that Jamie or Maggie are available are very limited, so we can't change those. But but would it be difficult to provide a dial-in so that the other subgroup members can participate?
It certainly seems we could have a remote conference bridge for the call, but we'll get back to you on that. We just need to know that that was a request.
Yeah, we're only talking about dialing into two people. So one of the little conference rooms with a speakerphone on the table probably should be sufficient.
I would not make that a stumbling block. If you're in a conference room with a speakerphone and I can dial into it, I'll dial directly into it and be done with it. Or somebody call me.
It's a bonus. Otherwise, we delegate to whoever's there.
This is Lisa. I understand you're picturing a conference, just using a speakerphone. Because this is a review team, we do have some transparency requirements that may involve recording and so forth. So that's why I want us to actually think through the request and how it'll be supported.
Never thought of that.
So we may need to record the call on those kind of things too.
I don't know the answer. This is what you want tells us that we have to look into it.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Having been participating in review teams before, there are surely going to be conversations and interviews, a good number of them, that are not necessarily going to be formally recorded. We're obliged to report on them, but I can't imagine that any time we talk to somebody, there's going to be a formal transcript of that discussion. Maybe I'm living in an old world and the worlds have changed, but that seems a little bit unreasonable to expect.
Me too, but let's not sweat it. We're guided by Lisa, I think. We just see what we can do.
Okay, so at this point, I have nothing else to cover. I think we've got a good start on questions for next week's meeting, and then we just need others to help flesh out this document too, or flesh out the questions, the detailed roadmap. So is there any other input or concerns anybody has?
Not I.
Lisa.
I just call your attention to Steve Conte put a link in chat to the org chart that would show you something about compliance, but he notes that just knowing who is on the compliance team doesn't really tell you what they do, and you may want to consider that as you're building out your question list.
Okay. And thank you, Steve, for doing that. Yeah, there's several links that you've provided here concerning the risk committee charter. Lisa provided that one, and then the other two that Steve that could be interesting. All right, so I'll review those. And actually, there's quite a few people in the compliance staff. Right there shows a difference in the from the who is review team recommendation four. It's grown quite a bit since those days when we reviewed compliance. That's a good thing. All right, so is there anything else? If not, let's call the meeting done, and I'll send out a couple of emails today.
Thank you, Susan, for doing this.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Susan.
Thanks for the participation. Really appreciate it.
Sign off now. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. Have a good flight.
Right.
And Brenda, so the meeting's officially over.